The book of Kings, the second Kings, the 18th chapter. And we'll begin at verse number 1, and we will read through to the 7th verse. Now it came to pass, in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David, his father, did. He removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord, and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria, and served him not. Now, today, I'm going to begin a few messages here, and we'll continue on next week. And I will preach to you today and next week in regards to pieces of brass. But more importantly, today we will go back, and I would like to preach to you on the wonder. So we will begin this today, and if you'd like to hear the continuation of it, be here next week, and we will gain a little more ground. So let's talk about the wound or the wonder. Pray with me. Father, I thank you for your great goodness and grace. And I pray that you would speak to us, Lord, and that you would help us and in our mind and our life as we look, as we see things. And God, that we would know things in the Spirit that you would have us to recognize, that we would deal with. And Lord, that we would recognize what is needed and what is not, and that we might be obedient in the surrender of it all. That Father, you would be glorified through us, and that the good of our life and the things that you allow to be are for the purpose of the Spirit, that we might ultimately have salvation, that we might be saved, God. And so I pray for people in the sound of my voice today, or those that are watching this or hearing this, that somehow their heart might be pricked and it might be touched to the place that they recognize, God, that you are ever present, and that all the things in our life are orchestrated not by just our choice, but often by the divine design of who you are, for your sovereignty and the purpose that you are working in our life for our good. And so, God, I pray, help us, Lord, to surrender and to trust in you and be saved this day. I pray, God, anoint me and anoint this people in your name, in Jesus' name. Let the church say amen. Amen. Let the church say amen. Amen. Oh, sweet wonder. Oh, sweet wonder. Jesus, the Son of God. How I love him. How I adore him. Oh, Jesus, the Son of God. I'll sing it with me. Yes, oh, sweet wonder. Oh, sweet wonder. Jesus, the Son of God. How I love him. How I adore him. Jesus, the Son of God. From your heart again now. Oh, sweet wonder. Oh, Jesus, the Son of God. How I love Him. How I adore Him. Jesus, the Son of God. Would you love Him? I love you, Jesus, my Savior. I love you. You're worthy. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Amen. Hezekiah had become king of Judah. 25 years of age, the word said. This new king did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. His footing was first found in removing the high places, or places where false idols were worshipped. He cut down the groves, the shaded, secluded places where the carvings were cut that created gods by man's means. And it was said of him that he broke in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made for the children of Israel. When the wrath of God was sentenced against them for their murmuring and their complaining of his provision that he had given to them. For roughly 800 years, it had remained in the care of the children of Israel. And through the march of time, it had been put in a place where they began to worship this brazen serpent. It's important to understand how this began and where it ultimately led to. So for a moment, let's look back 800 years. And they journeyed. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? There is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore, people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. It was on the heels, understand this, it was on the heels of victory that they found themselves complaining. It was after God had given them deliverance. Their mouth, if you would, still filled with manna. And they begin to complain. On the other side of a battle where a promise was made and a war won, that it would be there in the way, the word said. They were discouraged by the way. In that way, there that they would find themselves discouraged and quickly complaining. It is often in our way that the thrill of a victory in God can be quickly clouded by our own carnality and carelessness. Just on the other side of a victory, just on the other side of a move of the Holy Ghost, a move of the Spirit within our life, that we can find ourselves being quickly clouded by our carnality. Just carelessness. We stand on the summit of a mountain that God had just given us, only to slide back to the place that we had just overcome. The word said it this way. The wise man said it this way. The dog returns to the vomit. Right. It goes back to the putrid, to the thing that was, the sin that was, the thing that they had just overcome, they go back to. It was Israel's pattern and path. It's the truth be known, it's our pattern and our path. It's the highs and the lows of our own weakness. And it's so like us all when we try to point the finger at all the reasons and rhymes as to why and where the wrong lies. Israel began to blame God and they began to blame Moses. They were discouraged. Really, the word translates it best there. They were just impatient. They were impatient, the word said. They wanted it to be different than it was in a way and in a time that suited them, that suited their life, their lifestyle, their wants, their desires, their appetite, if you would. And so they spoke. They complained against God and they complained against Moses. Flesh has the tendency to always find someone or something to blame. It seeks the release of responsibility. My flesh, your flesh, every one of us, man in the pulpit, everybody in the pew, everybody over in the gym right now with the kids, and the kids will grow into it if they have not yet arrived at it. Everybody always seeks, the flesh will always seek the release of responsibility. To find somebody to blame. To find something to blame. To find something that they can point their finger at and say, it's your fault. That's why I did what I did. That's why I am the way I am. You did this or that happened to me along the way. And granted, there may be things that in fact come against us and come to us, but often it is always the choice of how we respond to it. You brought us out here to die in the wilderness. No bread, no water, and we loathe. We detest, they were saying. We detest this light bread, or in other words, the manna. We can't stand the manna that you are giving us. The very divine deliverance and provision of God was criticized by them. Do you see this? This is important to understand. The very divine deliverance of God was being criticized. The very thing that God had done for them in the battle and giving them the victory that they had promised that they would follow God and serve Him if He did so. And the manna that He had given them to sustain their life so that they would not go hungry. They said, we're dying and we're sick of it. We want water. We want to go back to Egypt. Why'd you bring us out here? The manna and the means of God to sustain them and bring them into the promised land. It was despised. It was detested. The provision, look at this. The provision and plan of God may not always be according to our preference, but it is always perfect for His purpose. I need everybody to hear that. Take a picture, whatever, memorize it, but get it in your mind, get it in your head. It may not be the way we want it, but it is always perfect. They may have got tired of the manna, but it made them live. They may have wanted it the way that it was in Egypt, but it was the wilderness that made them want the promised land. Amen. There was the necessity of the wilderness to bring them to the place of the promise in God. Never despise the wilderness that God may have you in, because it ultimately leads to the destination of the promise for your life. Amen. God knows what we need. He knows our weaknesses can only be overcome by our dependence on His provision. Hear me, somebody. You may have a problem, a habit, a haunt in your life that you are constantly dealing with, that you keep returning to. You climb the mountain, you slide down, you climb the mountain, you go back to the valley. It's the repetitive cycle in your life. But please understand this. God knows our weaknesses can only be overcome by our dependence on His provision. Yes, there is the effort and the energy that we put into it. But at some point, you've got to realize you need the Holy Ghost. You need God in your life. You need the divine deliverance that only His Spirit can bring. Amen. The problem was, and the problem always is, where and when we fail to trust His plan, His way, for our good and His ultimate glory. Amen. The word said that He sent fiery serpents among the people to bite them, and they died as a judgment against them for their lack of trust and lack of thankfulness for His protection and His provision that He had given them. It was a judgment that was sent. Everybody needs to hear this. This is important. It was a judgment of God because they were not thankful and they did not trust and depend upon the provision that He had put in front of them. And so God, because of their complaining and speaking against him and against Moses, God brought fiery serpents against them, and the serpents began to bite them, and they died. It is easy to forget that he is a God of judgment who is jealous to not give his glory to another. And let me explain this just a moment here. It's easy to forget that God is jealous of us. He is jealous of the glory that would be given to another. And that he is a God of ultimate judgment in our life. And he can be a God of judgment right now. And he can be a God of judgment at the end. And often in our mind's eye, we look at in the future of the rapture of the church and the judgment of the church, and we push off the judgment of God. But the judgment of God, the wrath of God, is not just reserved for a day that is in front of us. The wrath and the judgment of God can be present against sin and jealous against that which tries to take his glory now. Everybody still with me? And it is too often the culture of the church that embraces grace and mercy, as it should embrace grace and mercy, but fails to grasp his fierceness against sin and his lordship in our life. It cannot be that I am blinded by the tenderness of grace and mercy that I forget the fierceness of his wrath and judgment now. It cannot be that I constantly lean back and just think that I can fluff the pillow, if you would, and be comfortable in sin and wrong and not expect there to be some sort of reaction from God in the present condition that I am comfortable with. Because he must be Lord. And so, Israel confessed their sin. And God told Moses to make a brass serpent and to set it on a pole. And so he made a brass serpent and he set it on a pole in the midst of the camp so that everyone who would look upon the brass serpent, everybody get this, everybody that would lift their eyes and look upon the brass serpent after they were bitten by the serpent, if they seen the brass serpent that Moses had made, they would live, God said. Right. And now we all know the type of Christ that's involved here in the word that was being pointed to in the scriptures that would point to the day that Christ would say, if I be lifted up, I will draw a man unto me. So we recognize this overarching reach of prophetic utterance that was saying, there's going to come the one that is the ultimate salvation for those that will look at him. Right. Amen. Look to him. The brass serpent was made. It was placed on the pole, and it was lifted in the camp where all could see. It was not put in an obscure place where it could not be seen. It had to be seen, or at least had the opportunity to be seen by all that would take the time to look at it. Now, what we often overlook is the fact that God did not remove the serpents. He didn't remove the serpents all at once. We don't know how long. We don't know how long they were in the camp. We don't know if it was days, months, years down the line that somehow there was the continuation of this fire. Because we do know this. We know Israel didn't stop complaining. Right. We know that became the nature that they murmured and the complaining. And they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. But their feet didn't swell and their clothes didn't grow old. They didn't thin out. But still they would complain. And so we don't know how long the serpents remained, but we know they were there as a reminder of the result of sin. If they were not there, understand this, how do we know this? If they were not there, if there was no more serpent strikes, then there was no need for the brass serpent. So why would he tell Moses, make a brass serpent, and when anybody is bitten, all they have to do is look at the brass serpent and they'll live? So we know that after the brass serpent was made and lifted in the midst of the camp, that the serpents must have remained. Otherwise, there was no need for Moses to make it. So they were there. The serpents were there. After the brass serpent was made, they were there in the crevices and corners of their life, deciding the choice of life or death for the people. So the choice was really quite simple. This is what I'm preaching today. The choice was really quite simple. Once bitten, they could either look at the wound or they could look at the wonder of what God had provided for them. Yeah, right. They could continue Somebody please hear this. They could continue their complaining that had gotten them there in the first place. Or they could stop staring at the wound it was and look to the wonder of what God had allowed to be to save them. It remains the same today. It is either the wound or the wonder that we fix the gaze of our heart on. We can stand, hear me somebody, we can stand and stare at the hurts and the wrongs that we feel have been done to us, the offenses that we can complain about, all the things that did not go our way or work out the way that we wanted. We can be bitter about the bite of whatever it was that happened along the way. Yeah, we can. That prayer that we prayed that never got answered the way that we wanted, the healing that never happened, the place or the position that passed us by, the wrongs that were by ourselves or by another. We can stand and we can stare at the wound. We can stare at the offense of our life, the thing that was done to us or the thing that we did. We can stand there and stare at it and ultimately die, slowly losing our life even though we're sitting on a church pew. Or we can lift our head and look at the wonder of what he has done for us. Amen. In his salvation at Calvary. Amen. I will lift up mine eyes. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. I will lift up mine eyes. The burden of responsibility rests within each of us. I can stare at my wound. I can stare at what was said. I can be mad and pout and not speak and go around and want the pity of everybody around me. Or I can let that go and I can be healed and I can be saved and I can look at the wonder that Jesus Christ is. The price that was paid at Calvary for you and I to not be offended and not die by the things that we have done or that has been done to us. And I'm not discrediting, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not discrediting the things that have been done to us, whether someone did something, said something, whatever it was along the way. But I am telling somebody in the sound of my voice, you need to let it go. And you need to look to the one that can heal your heart and heal your mind and cover that wound that's in your life and look to the wonder that Jesus Christ is. Amen. We choose what we look at. We choose what we look at and we choose what we look to. For the things that have been in our life are the very means of God to bring us to the place of ultimate salvation if we will allow it. The very things that have dotted the landscape of my life. Amen. And I will go be so bold as to say, even the fiery serpents in my life that at the moment seemed the very thing that was going to destroy me, that was going to bring me down, they became the things that caused me to look to Jesus for the healing that only he could provide, that only he could give me. Come on, you're looking at the wrong things. You need to look at Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. You need to look at him, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Because there's not a one of us in this place that have not had something said to us or done to us along the way. There's not a one of us in this place that has been exempt from the hurts and all the woes of life and even the poor choices that we have made. But it does not mean that we have to continually live in the offense or under the cloud or in the darkness that it provided for our life at the moment. It may have seemed bad. It might have even hurt somewhere along the way. But understand, God knew all along where you were and what you needed to go through to get you where you ultimately are, because we are the product of those things that God allows in our life for our ultimate salvation. There are prayers that I want to preach for a minute right now. Amen. There are prayers that I have prayed that God did not answer the way that I want them to be answered. He didn't do what I wanted to do. I'm not going to be offended at God, and I'm not going to be offended at people. Why? Because he paid much too high a price for me to be saved to live that way. Amen. Stop living in fear. Stop living in confusion. Amen. If God brought you through it, he had a purpose for it. If God brought you through it, he had a purpose for it. You may not see it today, but ultimately, God will show himself strong through it. Amen. 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 And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring it to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. The words of Joseph, who was hurt and harmed by his brothers, hold true for everybody in this house today. The enemy may have meant it for our harm. Even the possibility of family and friend used as a means of God to demonstrate the ultimate good that he has for your life. Amen. God will use whoever and whatever just to save your soul. I don't want to underestimate the impact of the things around me in my life, even the people in my life that God has used to save me, amen, that God has used to form me. Amen. You are the product today of prayers that have been prayed and people in your life placed there by the hand of God to bring you to this place of salvation today. Amen. We think sometimes that just because we carry a title or a pedigree of some sort in this living for God, that we are exempt from the bite of something bad. That somehow, because we're saved, that we have arrived, or we pray this much, or we do this, or we give that, or we read that, and so thereby I should be exempt from all that. Amen. It rains on the just and the unjust alike. The same storm came to the one that built on the sand and the one that built on the rock. You follow that word today? Amen. Nobody's exempt. Amen. Don't get offended when I'm talking about offenses, by the way. Don't get offended. You're not special. I'm not special. Huh? No, life comes to us all. Come on, I'm not going to tell you to turn to somebody and say you're not special, but it wouldn't hurt. No, we're not special in this house. No, amen. It's going to rain on the just and the unjust alike. Amen. It's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be convenient. Everybody with me? There's not always going to be somebody patting you on the back saying it's going to be okay. Burp. Amen. Sometimes you're going to have to put your boots on and encourage yourself in the Lord. Sometimes you're going to have to dig into the Word and find the answer for yourself. Amen. Sometimes you're going to have to close that closet of prayer's door. Amen. And you're going to have to pray through about it. And you're going to have to look up. Amen. Moses wasn't going around with his staff and hitting everybody on the head, reminding them to look up at the serpent. Amen. Sometimes if you're bit, look up. You've got the power. You've got the authority. You've got the knowledge. Amen. You can pray. You can get over it. You can get up and you can live for God. You can be victorious, but you got to look to him. Stop looking at the wound.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Anybody?
Amen.
Anybody ever picked at a wound? Huh? No.
Right.
Nobody ever picks at wounds, do they? You remember your mom and dad tell you, don't scratch it.
Right.
Huh? I got the chicken pox when I was a kid, and remember my mom and dad, don't scratch it. And inevitably, I got this little scar. I'm too fat for you to see it now. My eyes are drooping all the time. You know how it is when you get old. Maybe you don't. But then I got this little scar up here, and you know why? Why? I just scratched it. Amen. Stop scratching that wound. Stop picking at the thing, amen, that God wants to heal. Amen. Stop looking at it and being discouraged and thinking somehow, amen, well, God owes me this and God owes you that. Amen. I'll tell you what God owes you. He already paid the price for it all. It was at Calvary when he suffered and he bled and he died and he rose again. Every offense is covered. Every sin is covered. Every wrong of the past, amen, it is covered. He paid the price so that you wouldn't have to die. Amen. We think that just because we carry a title, been in this, been at this, or whatever it might be, some pedigree of our past, that we're exempt. But the truth is, the serpents remained in the camp. The serpents remained in the camp. There is always the opportunity to be offended, to be hurt, and to feel the pain of whatever it might be that is coming against you. But we can either stare at the wound and die, or we can lift up our head to Jesus and look and live. Musicians, hear me, someone. We don't really have time to compare wounds. We really don't. And I will tell you, everybody, stick with me on this. Wounded people will gravitate to wounded people. That's a weird thing about wounds. We want to compare battle scars. You should see what they did to me there. You should see what they said to me back then. You know what they said to my kids? Do you know what they, back in Sunday school, you know what they said to my kids back there in Sunday school? And they'll remember it for 40 years and can't remember what I preached last week. Yeah. Recite it verbatim. And if I would take inventory right now, most of you probably don't remember what I preached last week. That's the way we are. Because we like to compare wounds. I'm telling you, that day that serpent bit me, you should have been there. I was there. I got bit too. You did?
My God.
You do that, you'll die.
My God.
You live that way, you'll die.
Come on.
You keep living in that wound, you're going to die. Come on, I'm preaching to somebody right now. You keep living with that wound, you're going to die. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. Let me go a little further here and I'm done. This is not in my notes, but I want to say this. All wounds are not on the surface. He was bruised beneath the surface. Bruised. A bruise is beneath the surface. It may manifest itself on the surface, but a bruise often first begins beneath the surface. He was bruised. He took care of the wounds that are unseen. The wounds of the heart. The offenses of the heart. Amen. Amen. You may have had an entry wound in your life, but you don't have to live with it festering in your heart and dying because of it. Amen. He paid the price. You just got to lift your head. We can either stare at the wound and die, or we can lift up our heads to Jesus and look and live. We don't have time to just to compare the wounds and walk around waiting for somebody to pity us. He paid the price so he paid the price for us to lift up our heads he was lifted up so that we don't have to be cast down. You get that? He was lifted up so that I don't have to live and you don't have to live cast down. Your victory, your salvation today can depend simply on your willingness to let go of what has held your heart and attention and look at the one who can heal and save you, because his way, this is the last thing and I'm done. His way is always perfect. The word said that we read just a moment ago, and we're going to go 800 years into the future next week, okay? But we're still back here 800 years when the brass serpent was first created. The word said 800 years later and through that time that they were discouraged in the way. Hear me. Your way will wear you down. But as for God, the psalmist said, his way is perfect. You may not like the way it is, but understand if God has you in that way, He's doing something that you just cannot see always to get you where you ultimately need to be, and that is saved. I want somebody pray with me right now. God, I pray as we stand to our feet and people begin to make their way to this altar, and people that need to repent and be baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, and people that need to be delivered, and people that are hurting, people that are dying right now. Come on, don't keep looking at that wound. Look at the wonder of Jesus. Look at the one that can heal it all, that can restore, that can save, and the balm of Gilead, the one that paid the price, and all the misunderstandings and hurts that have been along the way, God just allowed them to be so that you could look at him as the healer of what has been. Come on, pray it with me. Somebody pray it and believe it. God, you are my healer. God, you're bigger and better than this that happened to me. You're greater than the woe, God. You're greater than the wound. You are the wonder of wonders, Jesus. You are the healer of my life, my heart and my mind. All the thoughts, God, that overwhelm me, you're greater than my thoughts. You're greater than the sum of my thoughts, Lord. Hallelujah. You, Lord, who